I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Been On Our Mind. I'm so excited today, for we have our very first guest. I'd like to introduce you all to Julie Quatrinette. She is a musician, a songstress, a mother, and a teacher, and overall, a lovely human being, whom I'm so excited to have here with us today. Hi, Julie. How are you today?
Hi, Kristen. Thank you so much for the lovely intro. I'm great. I'm so happy to be your very first guest.
Yay! I'm so excited to have you here.
So I'm curious. I know that you have some pretty incredible things going on right now. Could you tell us what has been on your mind lately?
Well, what is on my mind? So many things. June is a pretty busy month for me. I have my album release on my mind. So I'm releasing a new album shortly on July 1st. I'm also a mother and a teacher. So June is super busy, report card time and assessments and all of that, trying to do all that and keep the children entertained virtually is a lot to have on my mind. And just the regular mom stuff, you know, there's always a bunch of stuff going on in there, in that old noggin of mine.
You do seem to have a lot on your plate right now. You mentioned your album. So what can you tell us about your new album, Let's Not Complicate Things With Our Minds?
Yeah, well, it's a collection of 10 songs that are very dear to my heart. Some of these songs I wrote as far as, I'd say, 13 years ago. And then the most recent one I just finished last summer, right before recording. So there's 8 of them that are in English, 2 are in French. French is my mother tongue. That's, you know, how I work and how I generally communicate with my son and my family. So it's just a very special album to me in a different genre that I'm used to as well. So yeah, I play in another band, which is more like a 3-piece garage rock band. And this is more of a solo thing where I write all of the songs, but I have an all-star band accompanying me for this project. And hopefully I'll be able to play some shows with them, like as a band as well. Not to say that this will always be the way it is, like in my future albums, but super happy with the way it turned out for this first album. So pretty excited.
That is really exciting. Could you tell us a little bit more about your bandmates that are featured on your album with you?
Yeah, for sure. So first off, I have John Danilou, all of these people are local musicians. So John Danilou has so much experience in many, many bands. He played in Murder Murder, currently plays in Super Toke, used to play in PGW, Pistol George Warren. He has he does his own stuff, his solo stuff. Anyway, so John produced the album. So he played a huge role in the way the album turned out, like the full band sound. He helped me out a lot with that, let's say, and he played many, many instruments on the album. Then I have my brother, Mitch Hull, who was the sound engineer. So we recorded the album in his basement studio last summer. He also plays drums and sings on one tune, keyboards, and was just very supportive throughout the whole project, let's say. Then we have Jeff McCausland, who is a local municipal counselor, I guess, but he's also a great musician and he plays violin/fiddle on a few tunes. And I have Barry Miles, the banjo king, as I just decided to call him that. I hope he doesn't mind. I've done a few interviews and I've just been calling him the banjo king. He rocks the banjo, plays on a few songs. And then I have two extreme powerhouses for vocals on two tracks, Patricia Cano, who is very well known for her own music, as well as Darlene. So they're both good friends of mine, and it was just a treat to get to sing with them and like just basically have them even breathe on my album. It's like, yeah, it just sounds nice. Anything they do sounds so pretty. So I'm that's it. That's the whole band. So I'm pretty happy with that.
That's really exciting. I love that your brother came into the mix of things and helped you out. And not only that, but also played on your album and sang with you a little bit too. And you also have some really great musicians backing you up as well. And Murder Murder with Jeff McCausland and Barry Miles. That's an amazing band that others that are listening to the podcast right now should probably check out if they want a little bit of a tapping, dancing their feet kind of situation.
Totally. And John Danilou as well.
Yes, yes.
So there are like three of us. So all I had to do was add, I guess, Steph Duchesne. And I could have had... Or no, I think I'm missing a few. Oh, I'm missing a few
that's
others
okay.
for sure.
That's okay.
A giant, that's like a huge cast in that band. But anyway, yeah, they're a great band. And yeah, it was super fun to do.
Yeah, it's really exciting to see them joining you on your journey. And I'm curious about your album. Is there any specific song that stands out to you the most as like your most favorite piece on it? That might be a big question, but...
Yeah. My God, I think my favorites sort of like vary depending on what kind of mood I'm in. I have a little special something. I have the list in front of me here. So I'm kind of like, because I think, I'm changing my mind here. Tonight, Tonight. I just really love Tonight, Tonight. I mean, I love all of them. I got to say, I don't know if that sounds weird, but they're like my babies. Tonight, Tonight is a song I started many, many years ago. Maybe I should say like some of these songs were written like 13 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever, like, you know, within a 13 year space. Some of them are like old memories or whatever, but that one I started a long time ago and then I only finished it like last summer right before recording it. So I just personally like the way it's a little bit more like old country and I like what I'm saying in it and I just love singing it, like singing those words. They're all just special songs to me and it's hard. It's hard to pick between your babies.
I definitely understand. I thought I'd just put you on the spot a little bit.
Mm-hmm. No, that's okay.
I'm really excited. Looking forward to hearing your album too. It'll be so soon that it's going to be completely released for the world to hear it.
Yes.
Yeah. So I have other questions here too. So you did mention Tonight, Tonight. Could you tell me the genre again?
Like, it's sort of like an old country. I mean,
okay.
The true country people will be like, no, that's not true country, whatever. But to me, it's like, it's a little bit of old country and the rest of the album goes a little bit everywhere. Like there's some, I'd say like country folk. There's a couple bluegrass songs. That's where the fiddle comes in. And then there's some really very quiet, like Nous ne vieillirons pas ensemble. It's just, I might make a mistake here, but I'm pretty sure it's just like acoustic guitar, upright bass and drums. Okay, something like that. Anyway, just very minimal. So yeah, somewhere in there, like folk, country, rock-ish, / bluegrass. Yeah.
Cool. So that gives us a little bit of a taste as to what we can expect from your album. I'm curious as well. So how old were you when you first started playing music?
I got my first guitar when I was about, I'm going to say like 18. It was the end of high school. I went to Collège Notre-Dame here in town and my parents bought me my first acoustic guitar. And it's just funny, my memories of those times, like me and my girlfriends, we all kind of had acoustic guitars all at the same time for the first time. So we would hang out in my basement and play like the weirdest songs, like David Bowie songs, things that you probably shouldn't start with. But I feel like the internet was kind of new then. Like I'm older than you, Kristen. So I feel like it was limited, the kind of like, you know how nowadays you can go online and find like any, the, you know, yeah, the chords to any song. Well, mm-hmm, it was kind of limited then. So anyway, but we tried our best. And I remember my brother Mitch being there, and he was like 4 years younger than me, and he would just show us and probably get discouraged with us, but he would like show us how to play the more complicated chords. So that's how I started. And my first gig was with my good friend Leah Roy. She asked me, yeah, to play. She had already a project going called Ma Tante Florence, which was a francophone band featuring Ed Landry and a few other people. Ed Landry also just put out an album. He's local. Anyways, just a little FYI there. So Leah asked me to play with her for the Bell Park Gazebo series, which was like every Sunday, I think. Before COVID anyway, they still had this. Every Sunday, a band would play at the Bell Park Gazebo. And I was just like so nervous. We practiced forever. And that's how it began. And then me and her did like a little duet for a few years where we would play all over the place. And we actually had our own night at the townhouse. We would play Sunday nights to only, I mean, sometimes like 2 or 3 people in the bar. Like the drunkest, most random people, but you know, they were kind to us. And those were some good times, good memories.
Yeah, definitely. And any practice too, that I'm sure you can get in there, and being in front of it, like an audience, exactly, no matter what size, gives you like the experience for the future, which is exciting.
Yeah, totally.
I love that you've been playing for quite some time. Who has been your biggest inspiration?
Oh my God. Well, that also has changed. Back in those days, I've always been into like Neil Young and people like Lucinda Williams. I mean, I'm just talking about the music that like inspired me and like, mm-hmm, you know, that I love. At that point, I was really into like Ani DeFranco and stuff like that, like things that were more acoustic-y. I gotta say, I'm a huge fan of Patti Smith and Nico Case, her voice and her lyrics, and like Annie Lennox. My mom would always play a lot of Annie Lennox and Eurythmics. Like my parents are huge music lovers as well, and my dad's a musician. My mom recently took up the ukulele. And anyways, so they always had the new music in the house kind of thing. Like what, mm-hmm, my dad would always buy records. So of course I grew up with the classics, like lots of Neil Young and the Beatles and Tom Petty and everything. So just music of all kinds. I find there's like a time for me to enjoy them. Depends on my mood. I'll reach for like a certain genre. I have such a hard time with that word, genre.
Yeah.
Genre. I'll reach for a certain genre depending on what I want. If I want to like party, if I want to do yoga. it's all very different, but I really appreciate it all.
So you have quite an eclectic taste of music, you would say, probably.
I guess so. Yes. That's probably that would have been more eloquent.
No, to say. It's great. It's great. It's nice to have all of these name drops for people and for myself as well. There's a few in there that I was just like, oh, I don't know who that is. So okay, I'll have to go and check out, right?
For sure.
And inspiration is a huge thing that propels us on our quest for creativity as well. So you got to name it.
Yes. Oh, and I should also name, I can't believe I forgot, Julie Doiron. It's funny that we share the same first name. Julie Doiron. Anyways, she's pretty well known, and very much well known. But anyways, huge inspiration. When I would listen to her in high school, her first album, if you haven't heard it, I think it's called So Lonely, or no, mm-hmm, Loneliest in the Morning. Oh my God, you have to listen to that. I mean, it was perfect for my like teenage depression, you know, mm-hmm, people go through. But I think she really influenced me because she writes really about like everyday things in the most simplest ways. She has like a simple style, but it made me see that maybe I could do it too, kind of thing. So it's not hugely complex music. Like, she's not like ripping solos all the time and stuff. So I thought, like, yeah, I'm a fan of hers and everything she does.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Support comes from ServiceNow, the AI platform for business transformation. You've heard the hype around AI. The truth is, AI is only as powerful as the platform it's built into. ServiceNow is the platform that puts AI to work for people across your business, removing friction and frustration for your employees, supercharging productivity for your developers, providing intelligent tools for your service agents to make customers happier. All built into a single platform you can use right now. That's why the world works with ServiceNow. Visit servicenow.com/AI for people to learn more.
So just wanted to add that. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that the simplicity is like a big part of your music as well.
Yeah.
Which brings me to the next question, which I know that you mentioned a lot of acoustics. So I'm curious as to what your favorite instrument is.
I guess the only one I play really is the guitar. So I'd have to say that's what I like to pluck around on. I have played bass in a band, but I wouldn't say I'm a bass player. I don't know. Maybe that's weird, but I can't just play along with someone on the bass, really. So the guitar would be my favorite. I like singing with it. That would be
cool.
It.
I like that. The guitar is a great place to be, and it's a great one that you can easily just jam with anybody.
Exactly.
So long as you know it. But you do.
And I'm not like a very, I don't know, sometimes I've been insecure, I guess, about my guitar playing because I learned a certain amount of chords. And I can't say I've gotten that much better. Like, maybe I've gotten more confident and stuff. I'm not the kind of artist, I guess, who like endlessly practices. and I'm not super into like fine tuning my guitar skills, which maybe I should, but I also have like a day job and stuff like that. So I look up to those people, but I've just come to an agreement with myself. What I do is good enough. You know, when it comes to recording or whatever, you could always add people who add a little special finesse. I just like accompanying myself and singing. Like, that's what I love about it. Yeah, I just was going to say, you have to like stop caring, like stop worrying about that stuff at a certain point. And, you know.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think that ties into, I'm just going to kind of swing back a little bit to like the mental health aspect and like things being on our mind. You mentioned like depression when you were younger. I don't want to open that up. But at the same time, like those insecurities, as we do move forward and step into ourselves within our realm of creativity, no matter what that is, it's so important to let those go. And just as you mentioned, what you're doing is good enough. And
exactly.
And you're a busy person. You're a teacher as well and a mother, and making this album and birthing it into the world, like that is a lot. And I also know that you enjoy gardening and you have your own home, and there's a lot of work going in there. And I know that there's other creative aspects that you like to dabble into as well.
Yes. I do like, I kind of like, and I haven't always been this way, but like I've sort of figured things out for myself along the way, like the way I figured a few things out on what kind of make me happy and what I kind of need. And like, I like to live in a way that's always creative, even in my home life kind of thing, you know, like there's always ways and to just, I don't know, like gardening is creative. Like the way you build your life is very creative. And for me, songwriting is part of that, is part of like my, what I do for my mental health. Like, you know, a lot of my lyrics come from like my journaling and stuff like that. So it's not like I'm dedicating 100% to one thing, because I am realistic. Like I got to pay the bills. I love teaching. I love my job. I love being a mom. So I can't, I just have to be like, okay, this is good enough. I'm going to do this. I'm going to make this album, whatever. And so
yeah,
it's a slow process, but I'm happy with the way things are coming out now.
Yeah, most definitely. It's all about that time management, right?
Exactly.
I love what you mentioned about like how everything is creative, basically. And I approach life the same way. And that's kind of what birthed the inspiration for this podcast as well. And because I want people to have a space to share and about their creative outlets and what's on their mind and what's going on and all that kind of stuff. And how do you get creative? And creativity is found everywhere. You mentioned a little bit about your writing, which ties into the next question that I actually had. And you also mentioned one of your songs, Tonight Tonight, was actually a 13-year process from start to finish, which I think is just so beautiful, because I personally myself, I have art pieces that I've been working on for years. And there are moments when I look at the art piece and I like kind of get a little let down and I'm like, oh no, like I haven't finished it yet. But at the same time, it's like, no, that doesn't matter. It's going to get finished when it's meant to get finished. But my question is, like, is there anywhere in particular that inspires you to write the most?
Like a physical place?
Yeah, you mean? Or it can be like a sensation, an emotion.
Okay. I think I've got it. Yeah, there's a time. I like the morning, like with coffee. It sounds rare because yes, I am so busy, but there are days when I feel like, oh, I have nothing much to do. So for me, it's not much to do, but maybe it seems like a lot. But anyway, so it's that feeling of like a brand new day, and you have coffee, like endless coffee. And so I recently moved my bedroom upstairs in my house. I have like an older home. And it's just like a lovely space. It's like an older, kind of like an old attic that's been turned into, you know, so the roof is all shorter. I don't know.
How do you describe it?
There's a name. Yeah, there is a name for that, but I don't know those names. Anyway, and my dad did it all. Like, my God, he's done so much work here. Anyways, it's such a beautiful space and it really inspires me. It's like, it's truly a room of her own, you know, that book or whatever. So I have plants up there. It's like I've held on to vintage things. So anyways, it's really cute with like objects and little furniture that I've kept throughout these years. That's really special to me. So I definitely love writing and singing up there. I've also written a few songs. My parents have a camp in West Arm, and there's like a little, we call it Le Petit Camp. So like the little camp, that's where we grew up. Me and my brothers and my parents stayed in that little camp. When I get to go there, sometimes I sleep in that little camp by myself or with my son. And it's just the sweetest place. I find it very inspiring. And everywhere I look, there's a little memory. The dishes we used to use. And you know how, I don't know if you're like this, but I remember which plate everyone used to use and stuff, because there's a different design on everyone. Anyways, it takes me down memory lane, which I love. And I have written a few there. I think I wrote Small Town Blues there, which is like track 3 on the album. But yeah, just camping too. Sometimes like when I write, it starts as just a little melody or whatever. So definitely like parts of songs are often written, you know, outside or like in those key areas.
I love that. I love that your home and your family and nature seem to be common threads that support you within your music and creativity, which is just beautiful.
Yes, very much. That's where I feel most comfortable and that's where I like to, you know, I like to have people in, like, I just, I feel most myself here in my home. So yeah, it's nice to like bring people over and connect with them in that way, I guess. Definitely. I don't know.
I have another question. So.
Keep them coming. Amazing. This is fun. I'm just sipping tea and it's lovely.
So in terms of your album, what do you hope that people will take away from your music?
Well, I hope that they take away maybe a feeling of like hope, and that there's always light at the end of the tunnel. Like, it sounds cheesy or whatever, but a lot of the themes within the music, I find it, the songs, they're all different, but the meaning behind them often, I find, are the trials and tribulations of like loving, trying to love someone and trying to let yourself be loved by someone. And it's way harder than it seems. It's just kind of all about that, the ups and downs. There's so much good stuff. There's hard stuff. But I think even if the song sounds sad and there's sad parts to it, it's never like, there's always hope and light, and it's about self-acceptance and growth. So hopefully people, I think, can relate to that and just enjoy the melodies. I hope they're uplifting. And well, they're one in particular, maybe two, are very, very sad, but hopefully it's not like too much
of a
bummer.
That's life though, right? We all have a range of emotions, and I think it'll be really relatable for probably many people, especially listening to those sad songs.
And
you're like taking them on a journey too, right?
I hope so. And it's not only sadness, it's life, like it's all of it. It's just for some reason I have like this thing, sad songs. It's not like I'm running around like all sad and stuff. It's just,
you're so not alone. You're not alone because there's so many of the great songs that are out there, a lot of them are actually sad, and people just, they relate to them because life, there is sadness in life, but there's also joy, right? And there's all the other emotions in between and everything. And you can't have one without the other. That's just the way things go. I have a question. I didn't have it written down or anything, but I'm curious about your teaching aspect. I know that this year has been a lot different for many people. And in terms of like, your album is very centered on like mental health, emotions, that kind of stuff, like, essentially. I'm curious, like, how has the pandemic affected you as a teacher?
Oh, goodness. As a teacher. Well, I mean, luckily, I get my energy from my students, right? So like, right this year, I have a grade 3 and 4, and they're just the greatest little bunch. And I was so lucky, I feel, that I had at least September till December with them. And then it started the back and forth online, virtual, you know, we went virtual in January for a week, we went back. So I always get attached to my students. I really, obviously, I prefer teaching in person. I like being with them. The way I teach is very like, it's me as my physical body jumping, or like sometimes physically jumping around or whatever to get their attention and get them busy doing stuff. So this year it was quite different. We weren't really allowed to do a whole bunch of things that I would usually do, like the interactive group kind of work and stuff. Singing had to be limited, which was very, very sad. And then virtually, well, that's just another story. I mean, I'm doing my best. I love seeing them. The huge positive is like, I get to see their faces, because all year they were wearing masks. So that's like the big thing, that I get to see them. And I mean, they're just the sweetest. First thing, I turn on my microphone and all I hear is, "Hello, Madame Chibi. Hello, but like, they want to be the first one to say hello. And like, how can I complain about that? Like, how can, you know, virtually teaching is, I don't like it. Like, I'll just say that how much can I do when it's just my face on a screen? And so doing our best, but like, Yeah, just for me, it's the relationships mm-hmm. with the kids that's what does it. So that hasn't changed. So I'm just kind of like, whew, I think like everyone hoping that in September, when we go back, it's for real. And it's like, hopefully it's just going to stay in person and no masks, yeah. I'm hoping. And I'm switching. Actually, I will be in Great Botanic Gardens in September. Crazy.
That's going to be exciting. Awesome. I love that. That warmed my heart so much when you said that as soon as you log on and they're all just like, hello, Madame Julie, like just eagerly waiting to wish you yes. well on your day, which is just so beautiful. And it's kind so of like, much. It made me wonder too, like how are the students handling this whole online? And you have obviously a very close perspective to that. But by that comment, it seems like they're doing pretty okay. But if you want to elaborate on that, you can.
Yeah, in general, like they're all... Everyone mm-hmm. is different, right? Some of them do very well. Like they're very independent and they are eager to work and they understand quickly or whatever. Others, no, I could see it's tiring. Mm-hmm. Being in front of a screen yeah. is hard on everyone. And honestly, it is a little sad to see their yeah. energy goes down way more quickly, whereas usually I could keep them pretty stimulated all day long. Like I see them like, you know, like they're, yeah. they're missing their friends. They're missing just real regular life. So it's definitely having an effect on their mental health. I see it in my son as well. He used to love online school. He's very, mm-hmm. very independent, has his whole setup. He's in grade 6. So he's got it going on mm-hmm. way more than me. I have one little screen. He's got like two or oh, wow. three anyway in his little office. So but he's the novelty has passed, I guess. Like he's missing going yeah. to school as well. So yeah,
it is hard. It's challenging, right? So it's like, how can you really support them in this capacity? Like it's
yeah.
I think we're all kind of like at a loss at exactly. this point. We're just like, okay, doing our best, you know? And yeah.
Right. Nobody knows. Like we're all in the same, you know, we're all in the same boat. I mean, I feel very mm-hmm. privileged. I don't want to say like the pandemic, at least mm-hmm. I still have a job and at least, you know, like everyone's healthy for me and it's okay. I know some people have had mm-hmm. it much, much harder, but yeah, like I think it's important to just listen yeah. to the kids, recognize whatever they're feeling is legit because they're feeling it and they're kids. Like this is not normal. Like they should be allowed to just go to the park and do whatever and, you know, yeah. anyway.
Yeah. I'm curious, yeah. have you been turning more towards your music during this time during the pandemic?
Yeah, well, the moment, I guess, that I decided, okay, I'm just going to record these 10 songs was mm-hmm. pretty much last March is when I approached, I messaged John Danilou, just thought he would be a good candidate, you know, like to help me mm-hmm. with some ideas. Like I brought the songs to him. I just kind of said like, look, I have these songs. Can you tell me if they're good enough or whatever? Because the people closest to me had heard them at campfires or whatever. And they're like, you know, they like them, but you never really know. And maybe it's just me. I need like extra confirmation. Like I'm trying to work on that. Eventually, because of the pandemic and I couldn't play with my other mm-hmm. band, the Apets, Mel and Andre, we couldn't hang out anymore. So I was just kind of like, okay, well, this is a perfect time to work on my stuff. If I'm ever going to do it, it's now. Because I also wanted to end mm-hmm. this chapter in my life with these songs. There's a lot of joy, but there's a lot of heaviness. And I just wanted to make almost like a gift to myself. I know it sounds weird. A gift to myself in this album. And the old me would have been like, oh, that's so conceited of you or stupid or something. You know, like... why do you deserve what? Like anyway, but because these songs mean so much to me and I just wanted to feel for me to feel like a legit singer-songwriter, I had to do this. So I just kind of slowly asked people and it just got done. Like last summer is when we recorded. had a super little small team and been, you know, last summer we recorded. In the meantime, I've also been like playing around on GarageBand, which is just like an app on my phone. So I've been making sort of like electronic tunes, which is new for me. So just being funny with that and having fun, just having days. I remember like early pandemic last winter, just spending the whole day working on a song, like, you know, like almost like in a manic way, like I'm not even eating, I'm just drinking coffee and I'm gonna finish this song, and then it ends up really weird and making a video for it or whatever. So I really got to spend a lot of time by my like, for me, that's why I feel like very lucky. For me, the pandemic was actually good for me, because I think I am probably what they call it, extroverted introvert, like so I'm an introvert. I need a bit of social, but I get burnt out really easily by it. So I need my alone time, and that's what like fuels me. And I really like got to like spending time with myself actually this year. So
I love that. Kind of a gift. I love that so much. Everything that you just said, but especially like really taking that reflective time, appreciating your space and who you are, and tuning into your creativity and allowing yourself to flourish during a very challenging year, and honoring the fact that you do have this beautiful musical gift, and allowing yourself to watch it and build it, like allow it to be birthed into the world through this creative means of like actually making the album. And you have to, or we all have to, celebrate ourselves and give us those gifts, whether it's an album or like a nice meal or relax, like, you know, a cup of coffee.
Yes, absolutely. totally exactly. I feel like I very much feel that way. And for so many years, like I'm in my 40s now, like I feel like I'm a late bloomer, but it's taking me a really long time. And I've had a lot of self-doubt and like, you know, yeah, mental health issues and one step forward, two steps back kind of thing, and self-sabotage. But I also, so, you know, as you work on yourself, you kind of get a little momentum and you start to believe in yourself. And also I feel like it sort of becomes self-indulgent a little bit if I keep saying like, oh, I'm not good enough. Like, you know, how many people do I actually need externally to tell me that I'm good enough? Like it has to come from within, I think. So finally, that's how I just kind of said, okay, enough is enough. You're getting annoying. I'm annoying myself. I'm just gonna do it. And
I've definitely whatever been there in the self-annoyance. So you're not by yourself in that. I'm like, oh my gosh, like are moments when in my past and it's like, oh goodness gracious, why are you, no, come on Kristen, get it together. Which like it's our little kick in our butts to move on that healing path, which we all have those whatever wounds from whenever, relationships, breakups, childhood, and you're putting that into your music, which is absolutely incredible and such a beautiful gift to yourself and also I think to the world, especially at this time. And I'm really excited to listen to it.
Yay.
So
You can come get it anytime you want.
The unfortunate thing is that I hear that you only have vinyls and I don't own a record player.
Oh no.
I know, so I'm gonna have to buy it online, and that'll be okay. I'll still have my coffee, but I should probably invest in a record player at some point in the future, because there's that quality.
You do you.
But the quality of the sound is just so good, right? I also love that you are getting them on vinyls as well, because it's like bringing back the old school.
Yeah. Yes. It's like a treat for me to, it's a whole sort of like a ritual for me to listen to records. And, you know, I really wanted to see this like on a record. And also I love the giant format, like it's like a giant canvas that you can work with. Yeah. It's lovely. And the album has the thing is, the digital does not give you the lyrics.
Maybe I will have to get the vinyl copy then so I can follow along.
I could just print out my lyrics for you. send you a word. I'll send you a word
oh,
file.
Goodness, I feel honored. So we're actually coming up closer to the end of our little interview podcast episode here. Thank you so much for joining me today and sharing space with us all. And I'm really looking forward to hearing your new album in full. I do have one more question, though, and it's in order to leave on a more of a reflective note. So I'm wondering, what does joy mean to you?
Joy to me means peace within, freedom, giddiness. I'm sorry, I'm just throwing words at you. Giddiness, swimming, putting jogging pants right after swimming, and then having a fire.
I like your kind of joy.
Joy. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
That's some kinds of joy.
I think your answer is great.
You know, joy.
I think your answer is great. You don't have to elaborate anymore. You're doing awesome.
Yeah. Okay, okay. If I go further, I think I'm going to mess it up.
You're not going to mess it up. Oh, goodness gracious. This has been so beautiful. My heart feels really full right now, and I hope that yours does too. Yay.
Yes,
thank you all. You're so welcome. Thank you so much for being the very first guest of Been on Our Mind podcast. Thank you everyone for tuning in and sharing space and listening. If you have enjoyed today's show, please click the follow button to be kept up to date for the future episodes when they're released. If you love our content and want to support us further, please head over to our Patreon and become a monthly member. This helps us continue to create content for you to listen to. And if you have any questions or comments, please contact us at binonourmindpodcast@gmail.com. We'll talk to you soon.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Support comes from ServiceNow, the AI platform for business transformation. You've heard the hype around AI. The truth is, AI is only as powerful as the platform it's built into. ServiceNow is the platform that puts AI to work for people across your business, removing friction and frustration for your employees, supercharging productivity for your developers, providing intelligent tools for your service agents to make customers happier. All built into a single platform you can use right now. That's why the world works with ServiceNow. Visit servicenow.com/AI for people to learn more.